It's 25 to 10. Francesca Rudkin's with us. Kia ora, good morning.
Good morning.
We will start off this morning with murder on the Orient Express.
Indeed, he was murdered.
Good God, murder here.
God rest his soul.
Someone was rummaging around my cabin in the middle of the night. No one would listen to me.
If there was a murder...
What is going on?
Then there was a murderer. The murderer is with us.
And every one of you is a suspect.
Big names, William Dafoe, Penelope Cruz, Johnny Depp, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Dame Judi Dench, Josh Gad, Daisy Ridley, Olivia Colman, just goes on and
Kenneth
on.
Branagh,
actually, there's actually too many fabulous people in this film because they never really get enough screen time. They don't really, you know, you want more from them. It's too jam-packed, but I'll get to that in a moment. As you can imagine, with a film that is set on the world's most luxurious train, and we're in the mid-1930s here, this adaptation, directed and starring Kenneth Branagh, is a visually opulent and lavish affair. It really, the settings, the costumes, the art direction is incredible. And, you know, it's really worth keeping an eye on it because they've done some very clever things. Like in some cities, all the costumes are black and white with red, or in the next city they might be black and white and black and white and blue. Like, there's some really clever stuff in here. So much attention to detail. It's fantastic. And the film starts off brilliantly in Jerusalem, where Hercule Poirot, played by Kenneth Branagh, is having issues with his breakfast eggs that he likes to measure, and he then goes out and solves a crime. And it's witty and it's clever and it's beautifully shot, and I was literally rubbing my hands going, oh, this is just going to be fantastic, this is going to be great. This particular scene in Jerusalem uses sort of an overhead shot too. We're sort of shooting from up above looking down, and this is a sign of sort of what's to come, because when we get on the train, he uses us on the train to shoot in the very small train compartment. So there's some really nice things happening in this film. So it started out really positively, but it doesn't quite maintain that energy. And I think it's possibly because once we're on the train and a murder's committed, then we fall into that sort of mystery plot of, you know, Poirot interviewing each passenger, trying to piece the story together. And as I said, you kind of want more from each of these people.
Yeah.
You know, Dame Judi Dench is just fantastic and she doesn't get enough screen time. And you know, it looks amazing and the cast is excellent. It is a pleasant, enjoyable watch. But I left feeling quite underwhelmed. And I wondered also whether it's because these days, crime dramas and mystery dramas, you know, we have such incredible choices on television and at the movies that I'm not entirely sure he's modernised this enough to really sort of appeal to an audience today.
Yeah.
I mean, he's added some lovely touches. Like, he has a moustache. Poirot has a moustache that looks like he should really be a ringleader in a circus.
Yeah.
And he's created a character who laughs outrageously while he's reading Dickens. Like, there are some lovely moments in here. And yet I'm not entirely sure this is... I'm going to be interested to see how other people sort of respond and react to this film.
I once upon a time went on holiday to Istanbul by myself for about 2 weeks. And it was wonderful. And I always like to read books that are set in whatever place I'm travelling to. And so I read Murder on the Orient Express. And I remember being a little disappointed. I remember thinking the story itself...
Yes.
It actually probably wouldn't lend itself to films that well because... It's very train-oriented.
Like,
it's all sort of just happens in people's cabins.
Yeah.
And I know that the whole glamour and the allure of the story is that it's passing through places like Jerusalem and Istanbul. And yeah. But I just wondered if it might be hurt by that, because you're actually not...
Well, I used to, as a teenager, in my summer holidays, I'd just read Agatha Christie over and over and again. They were the kind of books I just love to read over and over again. And yet now I'm older, Jack, some information's had to leave my brain to make room for more information, and I couldn't actually remember who'd done it. So I was sitting there going, okay, and trying to work it out and things like that. And then as we were sort of working towards the conclusion, it became clear, I was like,
And
so this for me, the narrative kind of lacked a bit of impact at the end. I was like, oh, it kind of feels an easy way out. But I don't want to say any more because you, like me, out there might not remember who done it.
What did you give it?
I gave it 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5 for Murder on the Orient Express. Next up, we have Detroit.
You don't know, I tell you. I was working security by Wisconsin. And on Tuesday night, we heard gunfire coming from the area near the Algiers. Police was there. There was a lot of shooting. When I went in there, three kids have been killed.
No.
Right out, Detroit.
Yeah, 1967, based on true events. We're in the depths of the riots, which lasted for 5 days and left 43 people dead, 1,200 people injured, 7,000 people arrested, 2,000 buildings scorched. And it's a film by Catherine Bigelow, who did Zero Dark Thirty. And this is almost like a real-time reenactment. And we follow a group of African-Americans and a couple of young ladies from Ohio, who end up taking refuge at the Algiers Motel. And initially this was a safe place to be, but a silly prank with a toy gun goes wrong, and the Detroit Police and National Guard attack the building, round up the inhabitants, and basically by the time the night is over, three people are dead, nine people have been seriously assaulted, and the cops head home like nothing happened. This is a nightmare scenario, and watching the film, you are made to witness it. You're not just sitting there passively. It's handheld camera work. Bigelow uses archive footage in the opening scenes, and that kind of observational tone carries on through. It is unflinching. It is exhausting. Very pertinent considering the Black Lives Matter movement. And yes, if you would like to go to the movies for a couple of hours and just, you know, hardly breathe and be on the edge of your seat, then this is the film for you. I gave it 4 out of 5.
Okay, that sounds good. Finally this morning, we have Only the Brave.
I heard you guys had some slots available.
What are you doing here?
I just had a daughter, and I just really want to give her what I never had. If you give me a chance, I won't let you down.
You know the difference between Type 2 crew and hot shots?
Yes, sir. Hot shots are on the front line, and they get to engage the fire directly.
Right. This is a story based on the 2013 Yarnell fire in Arizona.
Yeah, so it tells the true story of the Granite Mountain Hotshots, who are a group of wildfire firefighters from Arizona. And if you don't know the story, avoid the temptation to Google it, because not knowing does make this film more impactful. You know, this is a film which celebrates their incredible camaraderie, this incredibly dangerous job that they do, the effect it has on their families. It looks at the bureaucracy and the politics that goes along with firefighting. At the end of the day, I think the director's done a very admirable job. He's created a very earnest and moving tribute. So I gave it 3 out of 5.
Awesome. Okay, thank you very much. Those films, again, Only the Brave was a 3 out of 5. Murder on the Orient Express was a 3 out of 5 as well. And Detroit was that one that sounds very intense and deep. We'll chuck them all up on newstalkzb.co.nz. Of course, you can read Francesca's reviews at nzherald.co.nz.